Hey there, outliers. Nyama Shang here, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. I say letting me, but I realize letting us be a part of your journey. And today we have a phenomenal outlier with us. His name is Brandon Matthews, and I'm excited to dive into his story. Why? Because here on the Outliers Edge podcast, we're really about helping you take these massive visions that you have, these impossible goals or things that feel impossible to other people, and know that like and help you integrate who you are into making the impossible possible regularly. Right. And I'm just joined with someone who sees this, who continues to expand this on a larger and larger basis, and just has like a mission that's driving him. So, Brandon, I am just thrilled to be in conversation with you. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for, more importantly, doing what you do out in the world. It's good to be in conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It's an honor to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience today. And I just want to say, just to commend you for what you're doing. It's awesome to be included as an outlier, to be out on the fringes, leading a trail, blazing a trail that you have started. And so I'm just honored to be here hanging out with you guys today and your audience.
No, let's have fun. We're gonna have a great time today. Brandon, I'd like to start off the conversations just with sharing a bit about like who you've been to me so far. And we're still getting to know each other, but
Sure.
I think there's something that comes in where people have like an energy that just immediately like imprints. And on any given day it might be different. But if
Sure.
you're cool with it, I'd like to share that with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. I don't know what I'm gonna say yet. But let me just take it in. So Brandon, what I get about you is like I'm gonna say the word cool drive, right? Cool drive. And what I mean by this here is that like I've gotten from you from every single conversation that you're a person on a mission. And your mission is not in the back burner, right? Your mission's like right up front. It's driving you forward, and you've been living it out in many different ways. And I get that sense with you as it comes through. However, there's also like an element of it that like when I think about the word cool, it's not about like, oh, are you cool? But it's actually like the it's not that it's even tempered, but it's like it doesn't burn. Like I feel like I can be in the presence of your drive for a
Wow.
very long time. It's one of those things where it's like it's refreshing. It's one of those things where like I feel better as I'm going through. And I just want to say like we're still getting to know each other, but there's something about how you be that really like plays out for me in that way. And I'm excited to spend more time in Cool Drive. I'm also excited to see some of the other like parts of you as we go through, because we're going to be diving in through a lot of it. But I appreciate you. I'm glad we're starting off this way.
Awesome. That's great. I appreciate that. That's very kind.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see. So I just shared a bit about who you've been to me so far. Outliers are going to get to know you through that lens and many throughout here. We're going to spend most of the conversation focusing on who you are on the inside. That's helped
Sure.
create the external stuff. But maybe you could help us see a little bit about like the external world for you. Would you mind telling us a bit about who you are professionally and your mission and such?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate that. I feel like I need to add that as a tagline somewhere just because I've never been described that way. And I think it's great. But no, really, the statement of my life is to live life on purpose. So to hear your description and to know that my value and my purpose, the mission of my life, and to hear you explain it from, your perspective is really refreshing. And I really do appreciate that because I do feel like every day is an opportunity that we get an opportunity to make a difference and we get to choose how we live. Every person who's listening today has an opportunity to choose how they live. I like to look at it in this perspective, and this is my view on the world. If you go to a restaurant, there are two types of people inside the restaurant. There are people who are serving and there are people who are being served. And dependent on your perspective, and the position that you're in, it determines the actions that you take. And so I like to live my life in a way that I feel like it's lived on purpose and that I am serving people in this life. And so I think about it in every aspect of my life, the relationships that I have. I think, why do I have these relationships? Why was I born into this family? Why do I have this friend group? Why did I go to school here? Why am I sitting next to this guy in this cubicle? Why do I live in this neighborhood? Of all the neighborhoods I could live in, why this neighborhood? Why this state? Why this community? There's lots of questions that most of us could ask in life, but we just take it as just everyday normality. And we never really stop to think about the implications of our actions and the way that we live. So I just desire every day to go, and I don't get it right all the time. I'm working and I'm growing and I'm getting better. But the reality is, I want today to count and I want my life to be lived on purpose to make a difference for somebody else. So I've just set out for most of my life with that perspective. And I feel like it's made the difference both personally. and professionally. And I like what you said about learning from the internal and work our way to the external, because I think that's key for all of our lives. And so I try to help people do just that. I think if people can work, you know, they say that there's no I in team, but I completely disagree with that. That's my personal perspective, because individuals make up teams. And every individual has to go put in the work. They have to practice. They have to put in the sweat, the blood, sweat, the tears, all of that in order to make the team. And if every individual works hard to be their best, when they collectively come together as a team, that's what wins. And so if I can help somebody internally be the best that they can possibly be, develop who they are, it's the private things that actually are developed to be seen publicly. And so if they can develop that on an individual level and then collectively coming together in the marketplace where they work, in their families, and they can do this as a team, well, then they're the best team that you can find. And then that impacts customers. It impacts profit. It impacts the bottom line in whatever, you know, aspect that you may be in. So if I live my life on purpose and I pay it forward to somebody else, help them be the best they can be, then everybody's better together and everyone around them is better because of it. So that's my perspective and how I live. And hopefully I can make a difference in the lives who are around me too.
Hot diggity, hot diggity. Outliers, you can already tell, like, we're going to have an amazing conversation here. So there's a couple things here. One of the things that just like hit me when you said that, you said, like, I want today to count. Yeah. And I just felt like that was just like a simple, easy way to look at this here. Cause I'm even like looking back, even like when the last few days of my life, I'm like, how many days did I check the box, and how many days of them counted, you know? And outliers, absolutely, like, as we have this, like, check in with yourself along this way here. I also want to really call in, like, I love how you said there's no I in team, and I completely disagree with that. The reason I want to call that out in particular is I love the message that's behind it in overall, but also, like, the outliers listening to this, there's things that they're thinking of that they completely disagree with. But the way that you said it, Brandon, it was just fact. You're like, people say this, I disagree with it. And I felt in that moment, like, just the level of ownership that you have around it and how you've been able to build out, like, so much because of it. Let us know then here, because I'm hearing some of the philosophy, some of, like, what moves you here. How do you bring this out into the world? Let us know a bit about, like, what you've done professionally, like, sure, like, that we get a sense of, like, who is Brandon in this case, because then we can just hear more about this.
Yeah. So just very personal, I think just the foundation of my life is, I live out of faith. I have a firm faith in following Jesus in my life. And so from very early on, that impacted me from just the age of a kid. And it just formed a lot of my perspectives. And not that everyone shares the journey or the view that I have in that perspective. But for me, as I've based my life in that, there's so many leadership principles that are so simple that just treating people with respect, loving people, honoring people, serving people. And so my life has been developed in that. And so I just began, I've always had a kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. So even very early on as a young teenager, back when eBay and stuff like that was still sort of new, you know, when you sold actual junk on eBay. And so I would order stuff, you know, cheap sunglasses and all these things that I would find. And I started selling stuff on eBay, and I would set up little tables in front of stores that people would let me in. And I would just sell stuff everywhere. You know, I just kind of had this entrepreneurial spirit. I began traveling and speaking at the age of 15, primarily inside of churches and into student groups and rallies and these large events. And so my life as a teenager was just developed in this world of learning to, communicate with different people from different backgrounds, different perspectives, different walks of life, different age groups. I live in the South. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, which we do have running water and we do have electricity, for those who question that. It's actually a beautiful place. We're 4 hours from the beach. We're 4 hours from the mountains. And so there's a lot of culture where we are. And so, you spend a lot of time growing up in all these different environments. And so I feel like I had this sort of early adoption of just the hard learning. A lot of people want to understand that today, because there was a day before YouTube, you know, before this type of technology. So if you wanted to know something, you actually had to have a conversation with somebody, or you had to read a book, or you just learned the hard way. I remember the first time I ever spoke publicly, I was about 15 years old. My uncle used to drive me around to speak to different places, and there was probably 200 teenagers, my peers, that was in this environment. And no one told me how to do anything. You just learn the hard way. And so I remember speaking to this group. So I was so terrified. My stomach was in knots. And I didn't know better than to take my chewing gum out of my mouth. So I didn't. I left it in there. And as I'm speaking, the chewing gum is just dissolving. And so then at this point, it's impairing my ability to speak. I'm just moving the chewing gum around in my mouth, and I'm just internally just in fear going, this is a train wreck. This is horrible. And in the middle of it, a tornado siren went off in the middle of the event. And as I'm speaking, thinking this is a train wreck, everyone in the room gets up and just leaves as I'm speaking and leaves me standing in the front of the room. And I just think this was so bad that God had to literally send a tornado to rescue all of these people. And so that's the way that I have just grown in what I feel like is a gift of connecting and communicating and leading people. So long story short, I do this for my life. But then 12 years ago, my family and I, along with our best friends, we moved to a brand new city in our state. And with absolutely nothing and no one, we launched an organization, a church. We started meeting in our basement, in our house, in our living room. And we then launched into a high school publicly where we met for 2 years, and then to another building where we met for several years. And we kept adding time slots to fill up more people. And then we recently, a couple of years ago, renovated a grocery store, which is now one of our locations. We launched a second location in 2018 in a city about 30 minutes away from where we are, where I live now. And we just purchased 30 acres of land there. We're about to build a new facility there. And so within that context, when you ask about my delivery of how I've gotten this into the marketplace and how I began to shift and make a difference in people, this organization that we lead now, and many people would dismiss, they go, well, you know, you lead a church, so what does that have to do with the business community? But what most people don't understand is that the organization I lead has hundreds of people in it, and we have finance departments, we have social media, we have HR, we have facilities to keep up across two different locations. We run a full service cafe. We have kids development. We do a live production event every single week with live streaming, media, sound, lights, all the technicalities that you would do of any event. We have about 300 volunteers who serve every single weekend in a vast array of positions. And so here's what I say. I can't say to 300 people in my position, I can't tell them if you don't show up today, you don't get your paycheck or you don't get your vacation time or your 401k is going to be stopped. See, I don't have any leverage like that. So the leadership in which it takes to get 300 people to show up and facilitate 1,000 people every week across two locations, it takes a different form of leadership. It takes servant leadership. It takes investing in people, valuing in people. It takes helping people find a passion and a purpose within themselves that would get them out of bed early on a weekend to go and to live their life on purpose to be a blessing to somebody else. And so for 12 years, especially, I have gained so much insight just through leading that organization. Getting this organization off the ground, I did various jobs before I was full-time in this organization, and then obviously consulting. But I spent about 3 years with Apple, and inside of Apple was a whole world of just invaluable experience and information. I got the behind the scenes of everything Apple does to be Apple. And so you get the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you get to be on the ground with it. And so there's so much of that culture, that excellence that I was able to receive and now go and distribute that and add value to other people as well. So about 2020, coming off of the pandemic, our marketplace is just in shambles. I mean, people are quiet quitting. You know, they're just leaving the market altogether. There's so many different just dysfunctions in our marketplace. And so I just felt exactly what you said. I just felt a personal call to go in and make a difference in these organizations. We spend a third of our life working, and everybody hates what they do. They live 9 to 5 working for the weekend, then the weekend doesn't last long enough, and one day they wake up and go, where did my life go? And so I feel if I can take all of this and I can change the culture of the marketplace, I say bring meaning back to the marketplace, we can change the lives of people everywhere, the quality of life all the way around. So I've lived my life as an entrepreneur in many different fashions, in every different way, and with always the goal of making somebody else better. So that's a long-winded answer. So I'm sorry about that, but that's just sort
you
of the
never need
journey.
To apologize to me, Brandon. Like, because I'm here taking it in. Let me put it this way. Firstly, thank you. Right. So you're here apologizing. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that you answered the question fully too. Right. One of the things that like, so as we talk, Brandon, I want to like also be talking to outliers as we go through. And one of the things that I really like capture about you is that you own your journey. You own every step of this thing. And so like what's nice about this is that it's really inviting. I'll be honest, like you talk about like servant leadership and such. For me, I feel very invited to be with you because there's no hiding who you, like what you've accomplished, sure. But you're also able to like lay it out in a way where it's like this was the journey. And I think that yeah. Sometimes we get caught in trying to be a good leader, trying to create space for others and accidentally diminish like who we are or what we've done in the process. I just feel like just even listening to this, it feels like a really great example of like what it can feel like when it's you just live who you are.
Yeah.
And for my audience as outliers, like these are some of the things that we get tripped up on. We yeah. like in our attempt to not seem exceptional in order to be relatable, so on and so forth, we sure. end up like holding ourselves back. And so just so you know, on my end, I'm glad you didn't hold yourself back. Thank you for your answer because it was complete and full and you. And those are the kinds of things that like we can talk about, you know, but like it's hard to actually get real examples of it. So I really want to call that in right away.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know what I would say for people who are listening, you know, when you listen to a podcast, you watch leaders and you talk about a journey and you see the peaks, what we typically lean into is the peaks. And most of us want to sit, you know, at the level of success and what our success is. But you know, for me and my journey, just in the transparency, I just believe in, you know, letting people know it's not always easy. Most of it's been spent in the grind, you know, trying to get to where you desire to be. And there's been some low moments in there, you know, launching an organization like we did. You know, I had spent 10 years working in the church world on staff at two different locations, two different organizations. And so to leave that and then leave, you know, stability, leave salary, leave all the benefits and things that come with that to just go, okay, I've got 6 months worth of savings to get this started. And then 6 months worth of savings is gone. And your wife goes, hey, we need to eat, keep the lights on. So what are we going to do? And so you go get jobs that, you know, you just, it's not what you thought you were going to be doing. And I just, for some encouragement, if I can, I'd love to just share just a little snippet of just to say to somebody that may be discouraged today in your journey, just to be intentional where you are, that life on purpose. It sounds like something that's really easy to do when it's good. But the first thing that I did when we moved here, I had to be flexible because I had to tend to the organization I was leading and launching, but I had to pay the bills. So what I did is I bought a cargo van and I became an independent contracted courier. I delivered lab rats. I delivered pharmaceuticals. I delivered paper, you name it, all across the Southeast. I was driving about 400 miles every day. That was my office as I drove down the road, making phone calls, doing, you know, riding and things I should have been driving, but with my knees and I'm still riding stuff. And I can remember a time where I was so depressed and I would sit, it's pouring down raining, it's lightning. I've got, you know, stacks of pharmaceuticals to take to a three-story building. And then I'm going to have to wait on a pharmacist that doesn't care if he wastes my time. You know, I've got places to go and I'm just burnt out. I'm just spent. And I'm sitting there thinking, why did I even do this? This is not the journey that I signed up for. And so I did that for about 2 years and it caused me to get uncomfortable and to start searching. And I said, I've got to grow. I've got to move through this. And I could have stayed there and I could have cried about it and been miserable. But instead, I found employment with Apple and I started working from home, had an incredible opportunity to do that, learned a lot, grew a lot. It's impacted my journey now professionally. But the most important part of this journey was in about 2013, my wife and I found out we were pregnant. And first time we had been pregnant, my wife is my very best friend. She's the coolest person on the planet. We've been married 15 years, we'll be 16 this December. And it's the first time we've been pregnant. At that time, we'd been married 5 years and we had a miscarriage. And what we learned is that my wife had ectopic pregnancies. And so we were not going to naturally be able to conceive a child without the help of in vitro. And so if anybody knows anything about in vitro, it's about $10,000 every attempt. Well, I was a poor person starting an organization. I did not have $10,000. It might as well have been $10 million in that moment in my life. And so long story short, when we learned that we would have to have in vitro, what I learned by working for Apple, because we were a national company, is I had three attempts paid for by Apple at in vitro that I would have not have been eligible for in the state of Alabama alone, nor certainly working for myself. But because I was with Apple, the third attempt, the third and final one, worked with in vitro. My wife and I had a little boy in 2016. In 2007, my son was born May of 2016, January of 2017, I went on full time with the organization that I lead right now. And so for me, that was the whole journey of launching an organization, having to go bivocational, find a marketplace job, working one that I hated that would lead me to Apple that I gained a lot of value from, and a son. So here's what I would say to everybody. Apple bought my kid. So go buy an iPhone or an iPad. Everybody support the team because they paid for my son. And then when that was over, I got to dedicate full time to the organization that I was passionate about. So the everyday, what felt like a loss or failure, when I felt like I wasn't good enough or I was doing something wrong or I didn't meet the standard, for me, what I felt like was really happening was God was going, stop complaining, get up every day, be grateful for this day, serve the people that you're with. Because what you don't know is without this journey, you don't get a kid. So the heart, the desire of your heart's for a son. So hang in there and keep doing it and honor this day. And so I just want to tell everybody, if I could say anything of value to you today, stop comparing yourself. Where you are is where you are for a reason. Learn from it, grow from it, contribute in the middle of it, and just keep pushing forward. Because all the peaks that I explained of the benefits of my life have come from valleys. It's the private things that you go through that produces the public things that everybody sees. And anything worth anything, my dad used to tell me, takes hard work. So just stay with it.
Yeah, right. Well, let that like sink in here just a bit. I don't like to rush these kind of conversations here.
Yeah.
I just got a wave of goosebumps that this played out here. I feel your gratitude. You know,
yeah.
And you know, I appreciate how you give while all along the way. You give, you're like, hey, go get that iPhone. Like there's a your story in and of itself is in me, because right now I'm feeling like I'm in like one of my own valleys. You know,
sure.
I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for that peak. Can't wait to talk about the peak here. And I'm sure outliers like there are a number of us that have been in there. Yeah. And you know, as you're talking, I'm hearing how like the valleys and the peaks keep coming, and the peaks get higher and the valleys get lower along the way. Let's do this. I want to spend a lot more time with what you're doing now, but there is something for me in what you're saying, because I for any of us out there that are in the midst of that, of one of those valleys right here, right?
Yeah.
I love your message here around like, you just don't know like why you're here, but it's here for a reason. Is there anything that you can share with us? One more thing that you can share with us, I would say, for anyone that's going through that valley period right now, and then we'll go jump into, I want to know more about the servant leadership. I have to ask you questions about what you're doing now, but I want to just speak to that.
Yeah. You know, I think for everybody who is struggling, there's a time to be aware of what you're connected to and what you need to disconnect from. For me, in that season, and I feel like this is common to all of us. Maybe you could speak to this in your experience too. But I feel like when I feel my insecurities, and I would say even leaders at the highest level, most that would even be household names for all of us, at times they feel like sort of like an imposter syndrome. I think at times they feel like they're probably not good enough, but just, you know, so they don't have all the answers. But what I had to find was I had to disconnect from people who tried to communicate as if they did have all the answers. And so because it left me feeling worse, you know, I felt bad about myself, you know. And so what I had to do is I had to connect with people that were just authentic, because authenticity is attractive. And when I looked at people that I respected, But I also understood that they were human too, and they had those low valleys. And so when I saw their losses, I respected their wins so much more. And because I recognized that they too experienced a loss sometimes, then I felt like, okay, then for me to lose or to feel like I'm not where I want to be is just a part of the journey. And if they can get from where they are or where they've been to where they are, you know, then I can do that too. You know, I don't feel like you have to be the smartest. I don't think you have to be the most educated. I don't think you have to be the most resourced, the best looking. I don't think any of those things have to be for any of us. I think you just have to show up longer than everyone else. Most people quit. And if you just keep going, I think my whole life has just been because I'm the last man standing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think sometimes it just so happened that they said, well, he's the only one left. We'll work with what we've got. And then you make the most of those opportunities. So, you know, just be aware of the intake. You know, social media is great in so many ways, but it is so detrimental to many of us as well. So just don't get lost in all of it. We're all people. None of us are perfect. And so, you know, don't let social media tell you that you're less than. You just keep on going and you keep getting better. You got to work hard. You've got to grow. You've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the effort. Nothing just happens. But if you stay with it, stay dedicated, your gifts will make room for you.
I appreciate it, Brendan. This is, as you say, something that's been coming up as a recurring theme in conversation. It's just been this idea of like allowing time to do what time does, to allow time to compound. And it's like that infinite versus the finite game where it's like, if you're still in the game, you win as long as you can still play. And I was here, like there are times where I think, oh, you know, when it gets to leadership here, I like my background, I worked for a top four consulting company. I then went to work for a tech company in New York City. So like I've been around, been surrounded by like excellence in the professional environment, you know, and starting something on my own. I was like, I know what excellence looks like. And why isn't it here right now?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
that's right. And there's a lot in what you were saying here that, if you don't mind, I'll share some of the reflections I got from it.
Right, yeah, here. Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the things that came for me was I've heard people tell stories about like their failures and the journey coming in. But it wasn't until this moment that I realized like I never actually allowed myself to really connect with it. You know, to really like, I think it's because right now I'm going into what I consider to be a valley. It's actually, we're really good, you know, but like sure. Compared to where I've been, it feels like, oh, I'm really working. Like I'm just, things just coming. I walk in, this connects. And I'm like, wow, I'm really working. It's been a while since I saw that, like that big, like jackpot. Where's that at? You know?
Yeah.
And it's what's really cool for me is as you're saying this, I'm like, I get it from a completely different perspective. And I appreciate you sharing this here and any outliers out there that are also able to resonate in this space here. It's in the strive. There's something about this where it's like, I get that this is just part of the journey and it's a requisite. You get there because you have done this, not because you have skipped it. As much as we want to be sold into, if you come here, you'll skip all the pain that we have. It's like, you'll have your version of the pain.
It just
might be less painful. At least you get to do it with others, or you get someone that's supporting you along the way. Yeah. So, Brendan, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for like spending the time here. I want to like, you've taken all these things, you've been growing yourself here for since 15, the last 12 years in particular. You're a father. You've done all these things, and now you're out in the world, like really, like taking all of that and igniting that to higher and higher levels. I want to like focus the rest of the conversation on that. And I want to get into the servant leadership. That part really excites me. I want to see your experience with that. You use a word here that I want to make sure we're all on the same page about. And you talk about the marketplace, right? Yeah. And what does that mean to you? Because I have my own definition of it. And I feel like you have like a more complete definition of it. So would you mind sharing, like when you refer to the marketplace, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, you know, I think of the marketplace as where most of the people invest the majority of their time and their life is spent. And the marketplace is, you know, in anything that's out there connecting people and making the world run. You know, so I look at it from the smallest of the little insurance broker who's selling insurance across town, and there's two or three of them in an office somewhere, to, you know, larger organizations that make our world run, the name brand that everyone would know. And so what I really think about is the bigger picture of the marketplace. The marketplace, our jobs, is the one thing that will cause people to get up every day to do something they don't want to do in a place that they don't want to be, with people that they don't want to do this with, all because at the end of the day, they have to have the payoff in order to, in hopes, gain the things that they think are going to bring them happiness. And so when we have a system that is ultimately built on disappointment, that's why most people lead disappointing lives, because they're disappointed in their job. They're disappointed in the people they work with. They're disappointed in the boss that they have. Most of the time, they're disappointed with the payoff that they receive. And then they don't have the time. They don't have the resource. They don't have the energy. And they don't have enough life to experience everything that they hope that they would experience. And so when I think of the marketplace, I think of this pivotal place where every individual intersects. Think about it. Regardless of where you're from, what you do, what your background is, what your socioeconomic standing is, what your belief systems are, regardless of any of that, we all intersect in the marketplace. And so think about the change that we could make in our world if we were able to impact the intersection of every single life that's on this planet.
See why you focus there, like that feels real. Okay, so thank you for bringing that into the perspective, because I was like, I have my understanding of this, but I want to really be able to go down the journey with you.
And I think mine's pretty broad, because I look at it more as it's not necessarily a category of an industry. It's a collection of people, really.
Yeah, I like, so one of the things I'm taking away from that is like, it's an idea that scales in my mind, right? So they, sure. Like there's a, when you talk about the intersection of people, I'm thinking about like my local community, the marketplace that's there. I do a lot of things like as a parent. So there's a parent marketplace, like even just like the playground, for example, is like in a spot, you know?
Yeah.
But then I also think about like when I'm inside of the office and like just various, like the marketplace that is that specific environment of intersections that's there. So
I think that's where your strategic, and that's where, then you take another step into this where being strategic.
Yeah, tell me more.
Knowing the audience and the specific environment, the culture that you're in. So when you just look at the marketplace as a form of business, it does become very unclear. It's very scalable in so many different ways, categories and such. But when you look at it as a connection of people, what that brings everything down to, every person has just a few things that are important to everyone. We all share unique qualities together. So I just think of the marketplace in terms of this intersection of people. And then when you step into that specific world of marketplace, then you become strategic in the way you reach those people.
Awesome. So let's build off here. So let's say that there are outliers listening to this right now that are in the marketplace, they're seeing their marketplace right now. They're looking to get strategic and step into like their higher forms of leadership, right?
Sure.
Where do you see like most people who, let's say that they're aligned with your vision, they believe what you believe, and yet and they're trying to take their organizations, their marketplace, they're trying to just like really show up in service in that way. Where do you see people tend to like, almost like what you studied earlier with, like you said, there's no I in team, like they believe something that doesn't need to be true, right? Where do you see that taking place? And then how do you see, like, how do you support leaders who are looking to bring more out in alignment with what you're saying?
Yeah. So ultimately, I think it comes down to the culture of the individual, the unique organization. For example, I work with locally, we have a service industry in our city. They have multiple locations inside of our Birmingham market, and then two in surrounding states. They have locations in Florida and in Mississippi. They are a Whirlpool rep. So they service all of Whirlpool appliances. So if you own a Whirlpool appliance and it breaks and you're in their market, they are the go-to service for you. So I began working with them several years ago, just on the culture for their company. They're in the service industry. So when you talk about defining the marketplace, a collection of people where they intersect, in their particular organization, they are in the service industry. Therefore, it means that they are to serve people, and they serve people through the avenue of the appliances that are in the home. So they really wanted to make sure that their business was the best that it could be. They wanted good customer experience, good customer service. They wanted return. They wanted good stars. They have a big client that they have to serve, and that's Whirlpool. And to keep that Whirlpool endorsement, they have to keep the customers happy. So I began working with them several years ago on the foundations of the culture to help them understand that you are in the service industry. And so, for example, here's what that means. When you go into a home and washing machine is broken, okay, you can go in and think, well, I'm just here to fix a washing machine. Or you can go in there and go, okay, here's what I'm doing. I'm serving a family. I'm serving a parent, a single mom with a house full of kids. And she's trying to take care of all these kids, make sure that they're bathed, make sure they're fed, make sure they're clothed, make sure they make it to school to get their homework done. They remember to take all their assignments back to the schools, get the library's book back to school, get them to soccer practice, all these things that mom's trying to do. And as she's doing this, loads of laundry is piling up, and that has to be done. So when that is broken, it has totally disrupted the entire life of this family and of this single mom. So instead of going, I'm just fixing a washing machine, what you're actually doing is you're serving this single mom by providing her with a service that literally transforms her life. So instead of her having to worry about all of these clothes that she can't take care of on her own, when you fix that appliance, she's then able to spend time with her children. She's able to get them to soccer practice. So when you shift your mindset from you're not just servicing a machine, you're actually servicing a person. And so this organization actually adopted this with all of their team. And this is actually what they changed the slogan of their company to, is they changed the entire slogan of their company to service on purpose. I say life on purpose, but they say for their company, we're in the service industry and we're here to provide service on purpose. And so I think in context of the view of people, you have to shape the culture of the organization. And the organization is the people. People think it's a logo. They think it's a place of business. It's a location. It's a name. It's not. Your organization is the people that make up the organization. Leaders are the ones who give to the organization, which is the team. And the team, they're the conduit of the culture. They're the ones that carry it out. And so you have to invest really carefully in your team and empower them and equip them to understand you're here for a purpose. Let's find passion in it and let's make a difference. And that to me is the key of helping organizations completely change the entire dynamic. That in change affects the internals of the environment that people work in and the externals of the people that they serve. And so to me, that's sort of the secret sauce that I like to look at when I go into an organization.
So Brandon, this is I'm sitting here and I'm thinking like you found a way to like help them infuse purpose in everything that they do. Yeah. And what's great is that as I hear, it's not about the task that's being done. Mm-hmm. The task is actually agnostic. It's the person that is being served, the people behind what the work is being done actually goes out to serve. And I hear people saying like, I need to go find my purpose and so on and so forth. And I hear the simplicity in it, and what you just brought up, you're just like, the purpose is to serve. The purpose is to make to see this person as a human, you know, and to understand like they're going through life.
Yeah.
And life is great, but life is also hard.
You think about some of the things that's made the biggest impact in your life. Sometimes it wasn't in the most grand gesture. Sometimes mm-hmm. it was the simple things. Mm-hmm. I tell organizations all the time that they need to offer the Judy special. And the Judy special is I walked in, I had been to an appointment somewhere, I was traveling. And on the way back, I stopped at a gas station for gas. And I walked in, it was one of those gas stations, you know, like a Subway built on the side of it. And I walked in to get a Subway sandwich, and there was a little lady back there. She was probably about 60 years old, and it was really busy at this gas station, which was travel stops. And so I just began asking her, I said, "How's your day? How are you doing?" And I said, "You know, what's it like to work at Subway?" I said, "I bet you really see a lot of different kinds of people here, don't you?" Because there was a gentleman ahead of me that was a little upset, a little frustrated, had a little attitude. And she said, "You wouldn't believe the things I see." She said, one time, she said, "We made a customer a sandwich, and he got mad about something was on it." And she said, "He took everything off the sandwich and he threw it at me behind the counter." She said, "There was bologna on the wall, stuff sticking everywhere." And I said, "What did you do?" She said, "Well, I made him another sandwich." And I just started talking to this lady, and her little attitude, she was so sweet. And when she fixed my sandwich, here's what she said. She said, "You know what?" She said, "I'm going to make you a Judy special." And she said, "This is a Judy special, because you won't get this at every Subway, because every Subway doesn't have a Judy." And here's what she did. She said, "You ever had a sandwich from Subway? They wrap it up, and when you get in the car to eat it, and it starts to fall out of the back of the sandwich into your lap?" She said, "I'm going to wrap this sandwich," she said, "so that when you take it out of the package, the backside of the sandwich is wrapped securely, so nothing will fall out of this sandwich." And she wrapped it and cut it in a very specific way so that it would not fall in my lap as I left and I began to eat on my way home. It was so simple. And this lady has probably no idea. I tried to reach out to Judy. I tried to find a way to talk to her and let her know. But I share this everywhere because it impacted my life. I was standing in a gas station in the middle of nowhere at a Subway. And this little lady in her 60s working at Subway named Judy, she took the time to think about my experience driving home with that sandwich that she prepared for me. And she wanted to make sure that it was going to be a pleasant experience and it wouldn't get in my lap. And she gave me a Judy special. And you just think about that attitude of every interaction you have every day, those little bitty things that you can do. Some of us think, what can I do? How can I make a difference? I'm not on a grand stage, or I don't have a big audience. I don't have a big following. But man, you touch people's lives every day. And I think if you give them a Judy special, wow, it's in the task, the little bitty things. You're exactly right.
I'm deeply appreciative of this, Brandon. Like, it's I have so many more questions, and it's time for us to wrap up this conversation here. It's just, there's just been tremendous value all throughout. And so I appreciate you. I appreciate the journey that you've been on. I love that you're such a phenomenal storyteller. So thank you for honing your craft on that and bringing it here. I'm going to go back and listen to this for so many different, like what you're saying, but also how you say it. Like there's a lot in there. So it's really, really robust. Let's do this here. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for putting in the work to make this happen. Let's conclude with this here. So Brandon, for anyone who is interested in continuing down the journey with you, whether they want to spend more time in your world, learning more, seeing more things that you're bringing out to life, or they're like, "Hey, I want to start bringing my Judy special to my organization or teams here." Like, what are the best ways for them to continue down with you?
Yeah, I say visit BrandonMatthews.com. It's a one-stop shop for everything to connect with me. So for my podcast, host a podcast called the Mind Your Business Podcast, where we talk about whatever business is on your mind, leadership principles, personal development. And you can find all my social media outlets there as well. So I would love to connect. I'd love to hear people's stories. I would love to see how maybe I could serve you, how I could add value to your organization, to your team. You know, if you have questions or anything that I could do to serve you. So yeah, check me out at BrandonMatthews.com. I'd love to connect.
Well, thank you for that. And Brandon, we'd like to end our conversations here with what we call the time capsule question. And that's a message that you would leave for yourself to listen to 15 years later. Okay. So it's like you left the message, put it in a time capsule, and 15 years later, you came out and you listened to it. There's wisdom that you have right now that you might forget, or you might want to be reminded of down the path. So what's a message that you would leave for yourself right now that you listen to later on?
Wow. You know, I really, there's so many things. Wow. If I could think back 15 years from now, what would I want to say to myself? You know, I would just say, wow, you know, make the most of it. I really think that's it. Make the most of it. Make the most of every opportunity. Live life on purpose.
And there we have it. Brandon, I truly appreciate you. Thank you so much for spending your time here. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your experience, and continue doing what you do, because it is making a difference. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's an honor.